Blog Talk Radio.
The views, opinions, and dialogue expressed on this radio show may not necessarily be of the host, co-host, guest, or even Blog Talk Radio. Listener discretion is advised.
Folks, welcome to another fabulous week of the Paranormal Circus. I'm Will Scoville, joined by Robbie Prince and Alyssa Onyx, and tonight is going to be a great night. We have a special music. I can't even talk. A special musical guest tonight, Patrick Kennison from Heaven Below. Let me start that again. Okay, we're going to have a special musical guest tonight, Patrick Kennison from Heaven Below. How cool is that? I can like say it, after the 10th time, after fixing my face. Well, and why is that cool? Because Heaven Below, this year's Rot Rally, is opening up for none other than Sammy Hagar, the Red Rocker. So that's pretty cool. We're also going to talk about what they're up to and a little bit about a Rush cover song that they have featuring William Shatner. I don't know if he's like actually singing in it or if he's just appears in the video. That'd be kind of cool. Captain Kirk rocking out some tunes, a Rush cover. How awesome is that? We're also going to have some crazy news for you tonight. We've got an article that we've seen today, which is about like, where's Art Bell? Apparently he went to SiriusXM radio, whatever. And he was on there for a while and just disappeared. So it's kind of paranormal. We'll talk about that. Also, we have Noam Chomsky. Noam's going to talk about, he's going to talk about that he has no comment regarding building number 7, which if you weren't watching television today and you didn't see our lovely president on there at the 9/11 museum ceremony and all that kind of stuff. We're just talking about 9/11 stuff and everything. It was pretty sad. You know, we had a lot of people on there, and then they were like talking about, you know, their loved ones that they lost and all that other good stuff, which actually bad stuff. It was terrible. It was very sad. But, the president was on there, and had Miss Obama and everything. It was really wild. But in honor of that, we have Noam talking about why the conspiracy theories are insane, you know, why the truthers don't really know what they're talking about. They have no scientific evidence and stuff, but yet he offers no scientific evidence to prove anything other than, we're going to listen to Noam. But anyway, I'm going to bring on my lovely co-host here, Alyssa and Robbie, after this Pee Wee Big Top music. Ready? Hey, Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hey. I officially cannot talk tonight. I haven't ate anything.
I know. No, you're doing good. It's okay.
Really?
Good. Yeah.
Because, like, when I don't eat, I can't think good.
At least you don't sit there and go, you know, like some people do that. It's like, really?
Yeah.
You're fine.
I just babble. I just say things like, and I don't even say them all the way right. I just talk real bad when I do it.
Okay.
I don't know. Ha!
Uh-huh.
No way. I got a lot to say. A lot of it might not make much sense, but I do have a lot to say. So I'm pretty happy. So Alyssa, how's your week been?
Oh my goodness. up and down quite a bit. Today I actually was starting a tattoo process that I was really excited about. It's huge. It starts from like the bottom or the base of my neck down to my lower back. I mean, it pretty much covers my whole back, and it is a piece that I've contemplated for years on, and beautiful, beautiful piece. Lots of gravestones in the piece. The main focus is there's Thrym, very sinister Grim Reapers that are carrying a glass coffin with ideally me inside of it. And I had her makeup to look just like me, and there's just beautiful quotes and beautiful monuments. It's a huge piece, but it says a lot. It's morbidly beautiful. I was over the moon to start it, and we have a fabulous tattoo artist within our vampire court, Dre. He does amazing work, and, you know, my birthday's next week, and he really wanted to get this done for me, so I go over to his place like a boss bitch, like I thought I was, to get it done, and I tapped out, maybe an hour in. And it was painful. Like, I've never felt pain like that before. It was horrible. Like, I was crying and couldn't breathe. So, it was bad. Like, it was pretty bad. I had to leave. Yeah.
What? Wait a minute. You said that the coffin was made out of glass. Is that so you could see out it, or people could see you?
Well, you know, in the old Disney movies, like Snow White, you know, when she was in her glass coffin, it's just a really just beautiful piece. Yeah, she's in a glass coffin. You can see her. She's in her beautiful gown, and he had her look a little bit more like me. And you know, it. Like I said, somewhat of a morbid piece, but at the same time, it has its own beauty, and it's very eye-catching and speaks a lot. But I just couldn't do it today. Very, very painful. Very painful. But I'm running on little to no sleep and fuel, and yeah. So.
Now, do you know that glass coffins are very dangerous? Joe Burris died in a glass coffin while trying to plan a stunt, like an escape type thing. They're very dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't have any intentions on getting into one. It was just a cool piece. I want to put the photo back up on Facebook because it's really, I mean, it says a lot. I mean, it's eye-catching. It's just pretty. And the way he put his own thing to it. I was like, yeah, that's the piece. That's what I want. I really didn't anticipate it on being as big as it is. I mean, it's a large piece, but I was like, whatever. Go
big
or go home. It's massive. And I sat
like
down.
One big tattoo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So, but other than that, I mean, we're going to start again, but I've just kind of fucked up the whole process. Like, now I have
like
to wait a week.
Bits?
Do what?
Going to do it like in sections or something like that instead?
Well, that was the original plan. We were going to try to do it between 2 and 4 sessions, and now I have to do it in 5 because I pushed out and left today. with what little he got, about 15% done, and I just couldn't take it. I tried. I was holding on, and I was like, I can't do this. I thought I was going to pass out because I was holding my breath. Like, it was, and I have a high pain tolerance, and I normally enjoy getting tattoo work done, but this was gnarly. So,
will you get bit with things and stuff, and you tapped out with the tattoo?
Yeah.
What the heck? Wow.
She got a tap too.
She got tapped.
No, I didn't know that. I mean, it's not. It doesn't feel good. It's obviously it's not a feel good process, but it will hit certain parts of muscle where, and then at one point he was directly on my spinal cord, and I was just like, oh God. I mean, it was just bone, and so I was like, I don't think I can do this today. I don't think I can do it, and then I just broke. But other than that, it'll come about. It's just going to take a little time. Like I said, I wanted to do that for my birthday, which is next week.
Yeah, I don't care where you get a tattoo on your body. That shit hurts. I got quite many of them, and that shit hurts.
I mean,
anywhere you put it.
It,
I don't care where it's at. It hurts.
It does, yeah. And the end result is worth it, and that's what I've told myself, you know. And I only have a few pieces. I only have a few. And now this is just going to be this big, you know, probably my last tattoo I'll ever get because it's so big, and it speaks of how I feel about the paranormal and the other side. It all comes full circle.
Maybe, what happens if you just, like, you say, you know, screw the paranormal community, blah, 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 and you just, like, don't want to do it anymore, you don't want to be a part of it, and you got this, like,
I say screw the paranormal community right now.
That's what a tattoo turns into, a scar.
Yeah.
Do what?
You know what I mean? It turns into, like he's saying, that what would happen if you didn't want to do with that, you know, deal with that kind of, you know, the paranormal anymore, but you still had that tattoo, what are you going to do now? Well, really, you just look at more like you just covered up more, you know, it's a scar from something you used to do a long time ago.
And that's kind of what it signifies. It signifies just a lot of trials and tribulations and pain that I have felt, you know, growing up and then coming into, you know, being open with, you know, vampirism and being open with what I do with the paranormal. It comes full circle in telling a story. I mean, if a stranger was ever stop me and see it and say, why would you do that? You know, I would have a story to tell. One of the quotes that's inscribed on the tombstone in one of the pieces says, it's a William Shakespeare quote, and it says, during death, what dreams may come. And I don't know. Yeah, it's morbid, and some people are not going to understand it, and that's fine. It speaks to me. So, you know, the paranormal chose me at the age of 2 for whatever reason, and it's clearly not. It's like I tell people, I don't have an off-on switch button. You know, it doesn't go away. You know, I'm going to see what I'm going to see and feel what I'm going to feel. It's never going to go away. So it's going to tell a story for the rest of my life, and I'm going to be proud to tell that story. But it hurt like a bitch today, and yeah, we're gonna have to do it.
But when you get
like tattoos, man, that's what a tattoo's all about. You could ask anybody why, what's the meaning of that one? Every one of them's got a meaning to something. I mean, I have Freightliner on my whole entire arm, but you know, everybody's like, "Did you used to drive a truck?" Like, no, I just. Whenever you look in your rearview mirror and you see Freightliner coming right behind you, I mean, it usually means get the hell out of the way, you know?
Right. Yeah,
pretty much why I put that on my arm. Get out of my way.
Yeah, as long as you get something that speaks to you. Because, like, I was in his studio today, and I was looking around at all the photos he has of, you know, different things, you know, people have gotten. And I saw a lot of, like, Marilyn Monroe tattoos, and I don't care for her, but teach their own. You know, a lot of butterfly tattoos. So, I mean, it just comes down to, yeah, as long as it has meaning or... You know, I try to be a little bit different with my pieces and with what I choose, and that's why I've sat on this idea for a good 2 years now and finally put it all together. But, that was some pain. I mean, so to be continued.
I do know the meaning of it.
What is it?
The meaning is when you turn 50, you're going to be a part of a motorcycle gang and ride on the back of a Harley.
I don't think so. I don't know. Motorcycle.
We got the Rod Rally coming up here next month.
Oh, that's right.
Exactly.
I don't know.
You could be somebody's old lady.
Like...
That'd be kind of cool.
Do what?
You can be somebody's old lady.
I highly, highly doubt it. But if I make it to 50, that's cool. I'll still be proud of it. Like I said, it'll tell a story of all the cool things, you know, like shooting with y'all and just everything that's kind of, I don't know, everything that's kind of come full circle in my career, you know, because I've made a life out of this field and this other world. So the more I can surround myself with things that, you know, talk about that, the better. So
nice.
Yeah. But it'll look cool when it's done.
Actually, you know, now that we're talking about motorcycles and motorcycle babes and all that kind of stuff, Patrick Kennison from Heaven Below, he's going to be playing at Rot Rally, opening up for Sammy Hagar. How cool is that?
That's badass.
Yeah, so Patrick's going to call in tonight. He'll be with us in a little bit, so that's way cool. And they did a cover tune by one of my favorite bands of all time, Rush. Robbie, tell me you don't like Rush, don't you?
Do what now? Tell me what?
That you don't like Rush. You
don't
love
like Rush?
I like Rush?
You don't?
I didn't hear what you said. I thought you said something about Rush and Robbie. That's all I heard.
Do you like Rush? I said it slower and louder.
Abso-freaking-lutely, brother. That's the best drummer in the world, man.
Yeah, you like that solo he does on Working Man?
Dude, he is awesome. I believe he's the oldest one in the band, Neil Peart. He actually, when they go on tour, he doesn't ride in a bus with them. He rides on his Harley, bro, all the way to wherever they're going, no matter where it's at, no matter if it's raining, he is on his Harley.
Shut up.
Yeah, does he need a chick to ride on the back to help out, like a pillow, like a cushion?
He's probably got enough.
Lean
he's probably
back.
Got plenty.
There's a lot of the meaning behind why he's on that motorcycle, though.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Does he have a tattoo about that meaning?
No, actually, it's he was on tour and he bought a motorcycle, but he didn't want to drive it. He just wanted to have it to look at, you know? And then he was on tour, and he got a phone call that his wife and his kids were killed in an accident.
Uh-uh.
And he got on his motorcycle and left for 2 years, and no one never knew where he went or anything. And then he showed back up 2 years later, and then they went back on tour again, and he drove his Harley wherever he went.
No,
there you go.
Sad.
Yeah, but yeah, Rush is awesome. Rush is badass, and they're awesome in concert.
Oh yeah, yeah. So. Heaven Below, they did a cover. They did Subdivisions, which is very cool.
Yeah,
and it's featuring William Shatner. Now, I'm just wondering, did Captain Kirk help sing, or is he just in the video or something? But I'm wondering what Captain Kirk did.
Beat me up, Scotty.
Heck yeah. Subdivision, that's like their second release from their 1982 album, Signals. So, yeah. Very cool. So that's going to be cool. We'll talk to Patrick tonight for a bit. And I want to play this one audio I got from Noam Chomsky. A lot of people know who Noam is. If you don't, then Google him and, you know, figure it out for yourself. But he was talking about 9/11, conspiracy theories and all that kind of stuff, and what happened to Building 7, which caught fire, but mysteriously fell, which never was hit by a plane. It just fell. Because most buildings, when they catch on fire, they fall. Haven't you seen that? That happens all the time, right? But
oh, yeah.
He's gonna tell you how people are crazy for thinking that it's anything other than, you know, whatever. So we're going to go to Noam Chomsky and let Noam ramble for a couple minutes here. Golly, it makes me mad. People like that make me mad. Anyway, Noam Chomsky here on the Paranormal Circus.
right. Noam, thanks for coming. You've mentioned quite a few contradictions from the media and their presentation on things. And I think the most notorious case of this is with September 11th, 2001. You mentioned in a forum on ZNet in 2006 that you wanted to see a consensus of engineers and specialists that understand the actual structures of these buildings and their possible collapse. And there is such a group, and I'm here to tell you about that and ask you a follow-up question. It's called Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. There's a consensus of over 2,000 of them.
All right, is this a question or
please
a
statement? Please don't interrupt. I'm asking a question. I'm setting it up. Thank you. This consensus shows that Building 7, the third building that fell on 9/11, fell in free fall speed, as this report acknowledges. Are you ready to come forward and jump on board with 9/11? I know you've mentioned it's a distraction, but there's no better case of the media covering up things than not presenting Building 7, that third building. We've all seen the other towers fall, but what about Building 7, Noam?
Well, in fact, you're right that there's a consensus among a minuscule number of architects and engineers, tiny number, there are a couple of them are perfectly serious, they're not doing what scientists and engineers do when they think they've discovered something. What you do when you think you've discovered something, what you do is write articles in scientific journals, give talks at the professional societies, go to the civil engineering department at MIT or Florida or wherever you are, and present your results, and then proceed to try to convince the national academies, the professional society of physicists and civil engineers, the departments in the major universities, convince them that you've discovered something. Now, there happen to be a lot of people around who spent an hour on the internet and think they know a lot of physics, but it doesn't work like that. There's a reason why there are... There's a reason why there are graduate schools in these departments and research. So the thing to do is pretty straightforward. Do what scientists and engineers do who think they've made a discovery. Now, when this is brought up, as it has been, there are one or two minor articles, like this one article that appeared in an online journal which claims to have found, where someone claims to have found traces of nanothermite in Building 7. I don't know what that means. You don't know what that means. But if it means anything, bring it to the attention of the scientific community. That's a couple of other fragments like that. So yes, there's a small group of people who believe this, and there's a straightforward way to proceed. Now, when this is brought up, there's a standard reaction. Scientists and engineers and professional societies and physicists are so intimidated by the government that they're afraid to take they don't have the courage to take this position. Anyone who has any any familiarity with political activism knows that this is one of the safest things you can do. It's almost riskless. People take risks far beyond this constantly, including scientists and engineers. I can have run through and can run through many examples. I mean, you know, it's kind of a, maybe people will laugh at you, but that's about it. It's an almost riskless position. So that can't be the reason why nobody's convinced. However, there's a much more deeper issue, which has been brought up repeatedly, and I have yet to hear a response to it. There happens to be, whatever one thinks about Building 7, frankly, I have no opinion. I don't know as much science and engineering as the people who believe that they have an answer to this. So I am willing to let the professional societies determine it if they get the information. So whatever the facts, there's just overwhelming evidence that the Bush administration wasn't involved. Very elementary evidence. You don't have to be a physicist to understand it. You just have to think for a minute, okay? So let's think for a minute. There's a couple of facts which are uncontroversial, right? One fact that is uncontroversial is that the Bush administration desperately wanted to invade Iraq. That's a long-standing goal. There's good reasons for it. You know, second largest energy resources in the world, right in the middle of the world's major energy-producing region. You know, perfectly obvious reasons, which they in fact later stated. But they were obvious anyway. So they wanted to invade Iraq, one uncontroversial fact. Second uncontroversial fact. They didn't blame the 9/11 on Iraqis. They blamed it on Saudis, mainly. That's their major ally. So they blamed it on people from their major ally, not on the country that they wanted to invade. The third uncontroversial fact, unless they're total lunatics, they would have blamed it on Iraqis if they were involved in any way. That would have given them open season on invading Iraq, a total support, international support, the UN resolution, no need to concoct wild stories about the weapons of mass destruction and contacts between Saddam and Al-Qaeda, which of course quickly exploded, discrediting them. No reason to invade Afghanistan, which was mostly a waste of time for them. But they didn't. Well, the conclusion is pretty straightforward. Either they are total lunatics or they weren't involved, and they're not total lunatics. So whatever you think about Building 7, there are other considerations to be concerned with.
All right. I think our speaker answered that question succinctly, so that's the only question we'll have on that topic.
Folks, that was Noam Chomsky.
That was crazy, man. That dude ain't rambling.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so funny because, you know, he was saying, you know, definitely the Bush administration had nothing to do with it whatsoever. I mean, anybody that can think could figure that out because, you know, everybody in there is an upstanding guy. I mean, here you've got, of course, the lovely Donald Rumsfeld, who gave you aspartame. And enjoy your aspartame, the stuff that will eat holes into your brain as well as cause a lot of other cancerous type things to happen to you. Yeah, they're very nice people. Why would they do that? Doesn't make any sense. You know, but if he doesn't even have to be an engineer per se. I'm surprised he's not, because if you look up Noam, he's a linguist, philosopher, cognitive scientist, logician, whatever, political commentator, activist, blah, 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 blah. So he's gave himself about 35 different titles. I'm surprised he's not an engineer also, because I've found in life when this person gives himself a whole bunch of titles, they're con artists.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of people take what this guy says to heart, you know, and you probably had a lot of clapping seals in the audience going, yay, but he never told you anything, you know. And like I said before, the damn thing was on fire, and the next thing it's hitting the ground. You know, I've never seen that happen, ever. I can't even think of what else would do that unless it had some explosives hooked up to it to do that. And then when you've seen the planes hit the Twin Towers, you would think that, okay, say, I mean, you can just do this with anything. Hit something that's stacked up, like, you know, in the top, upper three-fourths of it. Hit it with something and see what it does. You let me know if it falls straight down quickly. You know, so it's like, these guys, what they're doing is they pull the wool over your eyes and they expect you to be sheeple and just take it in, you know, and just go with it. Because they said it, so it's got to be right, especially if they run articles, you know, in the news over and over and over, and they get CNN and whatever. Yeah, all these different news organizations, MSNBC, CNN, Fox, that, if they say it to you over and over again, it must be true. It's got to be, you know. It's just crazy. They don't think people are going to study this stuff for themselves. You know, you know what's funny? I was talking to a guy today, and I told him, I said, as soon as it happened, I knew what happened. I knew it wasn't the way they said it was going down, you know.
Yeah.
But you know what makes me mad about the whole thing? Is those were, like, innocent people in there. That really makes me mad, you know.
Yeah.
That's terrible, you know. And then they had the museum ceremony today, you know. I'm like, man, you know, these people are giving heart-wrenching testimonies about how brave their relatives were, you know, going back in there and helping people and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And then you got, you know, the president and the first lady there, you know, feeling real sad and everything, Giuliani. They didn't know what was going on. You're at that level, you know what's happening. You know, he's a president now. He knows what happened. He knows what's going on. But he's going to act like he doesn't know what's going on. It's so terrible. I mean, you know, it makes you so mad, you know. It's like, golly. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's just terrible. It's a bad deal.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to, you know, hit on that today because I just watched all day long. It just kept showing Obama speaking and everything. And when he talks, I can't even listen to him. You know, I don't listen. I see his lips move, but I don't hear a word he says, you know. It's just terrible, you know. I don't know. He might be a great guy, but I don't know about that. Who knows? Who knows, man? I don't know. But, yeah, it's crazy. You know, welcome to the United States circus. So,
yeah.
That's crazy.
That's
exactly. It's like a cartoon, you know.
It
speaking
is.
Of cartoons. That's funny. Anyway. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah. So we're waiting for Patrick to call in and talk to him for a little bit. Kennison from Heaven Below. Look forward to that. It's very cool. In the meantime, what I want to do is we had Danny Ramsey and Jay Bones from Forever Town in studio just a couple weeks ago. And I want to go ahead and play a song from those guys. They'll be at Rot Rally along with Heaven Below and Sammy Hagar and other folks. I just want to play this tune for you, Platinum Girl. Make sure you go check out their website, check out their Facebook pages and stuff, like them, whatever you got to do. But, you know, keep track of some of these bands and stuff. Help support independent rock and roll right here, like we do, you know, on the Paranormal Circus. It's Platinum Girl, Forever Town. Just be quiet and listen immediately.
I like you just like you are. You make me feel like a single star. Let's drive this love in the fast lane. I'm crazy for you, and I want more of it all. Away.
The views, opinions, and dialogue expressed on this radio show may not necessarily be of the host, co-host, guest, or even Block Talk Radio. Listener discretion is advised.
Folks, welcome back to DTM Wicked Radio's Paranormal Circus. Wow, that was smooth. I just thought about that just now. I didn't even rehearse it or anything. I do have a dry erase board right here. I didn't write it on there. I just kind of winged it. You know, I've been putting everything on the dry erase. Like I said, I haven't ate anything for dinner yet, so I'm kind of out of my mind, and I can't speak, I can't think, can't do anything. I'm really lucky to know my own name at this point in the show, which I don't know what it is. It could be William, Will, Bill, Billy, whatever. I've been called other things, too. And, you know, nothing. Okay. Anyways, before we bring the very talented frontman of Heaven Below here in our studio, we've got a caller. Let me take that caller really quick before we bring on Patrick Kennison. Ready? I'm going to give him a great, I don't know, intro right here. Right here. Here we go. Listen to this. Caller, welcome to the Paranormal Circus.
Of course you are out of your mind. You've probably been playing with yourself too much today. Sick freak.
What?
Wacky monkey freak.
Is this Misty?
This is Misty. When Mr. Rogers said, "Why won't you be my neighbor?" he definitely wasn't trying to invite you. Sick freak circus nutbags.
So why don't you let us know what you really feel? What?
Nutbags.
Every week you call in and you throw these insults at us, like every single week. I mean, what's your deal? I mean, don't you have anything else better to do? Why don't you go bowling or something?
I have better things to do. Like talking to people and telling them that you're all sick hot freaks. They need to be informed.
Thank God.
You need your mouth washed out with soap. Hogs.
I'm literally going to fly up there, which I don't like to fly. I hate heights. I don't fly ever. But I think I'll make that an exception. I'll make an exception. I'll go up to where you're at, and I will personally give you a drug test because you are clearly off your rocker.
Again, a flying monkey, Wizard of Oz. Nut.
Now, Misty, now, I'm going to leave you on for just a second. Try to be on your best behavior. I've got the very talented Patrick Kennison from Heaven Below here. He's opening up for the Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar, at the Rot Rally here in Austin shortly, coming up very soon. So try to do your best flipping behavior, okay?
I'll think about it. It depends on if he needs something, a big slashing with the big whip. He needs to snap back into space.
Anyways, I'm going to bring Patrick on now, and I'm going to give him a big, you know, warm welcome here, like we always do on the Paranormal Circus. Patrick, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. We're putting up with this lady that calls us like every week. She yells at us, calls us names, all this kind of crap. And we're like, I don't know. I don't know what to do with her, man. I told her I'm going to give her a drug test that doesn't seem to phase her whatsoever. I mean, do you have any suggestions what I could do to this person?
I don't know. I usually have to pay somebody to hit me with the whip and berate me and be mean to me. So I'll take a freebie for this time, I guess.
I love it. Patrick, tell everybody about yourself and your band.
I got a band called Heaven Below. Half the band is out of Texas, but we live out here in Los Angeles. And we've been going, we're kind of a new band still since like 2010. And we're just kind of making our way out there in this crazy scene. We did a song with William Shatner. Everybody loved the cover of Rush Subdivisions. We had William Shatner on it. And we've kind of been making headways with some of our good friends putting us on the bill and getting us on tours and getting us on radio. So we're proud to call ourselves an indie band. You know, nowadays it's different with labels and stuff. But, yeah, we're just proud to be part of what seems to be like is kind of like the new scene of music out here on the West Coast.
Wow, very cool. Now, how did you get Captain Kirk to be on your song?
Well, of course, living out here in L.A., I do a lot of session and studio work for re-records for film and TV, and my buddy, who's a producer, said, hey, I'm doing a whole album of cover songs, and it's William Shatner's album, and do you want to come play guitar on the songs, like all the tracks? And I said, of course, you know, I'd love to do that. So I got there, and then that turned into, can you do the backing vocals on it? And then it turned into, can you do the guide vocals so William Shatner can talk over the songs? So, of course, I hung around. I made friends with Mr. Shatner. And at the end of the whole thing, he shook my hand, and he said, great job, son. If you ever need anything, feel free to call me up. And so a few months later, we did a cover of Rush Subdivisions. And I was like, who in the band is going to say Subdivision? And I was like, that's not us, you know? So I was like, I'm going to call William Shatner back and see if he actually was being serious. And he went for it. He did it.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I mean, at first I was like, wait a minute. Does he have William Shatner on the song? Or is he just like in the video or something like that making an appearance? I was like, wow. He's singing.
Yeah, it's funny. When we put the album out, you have to license. When you do cover songs, you got to go through this agency to do it properly. And they said the same thing. They said, oh, you sampled William Shatner from a TV show and you put it in the song? I said, no. Mr. Shatner came to our studio and did it, drove over there and did it. And they're like, oh, my God, that's so cool. And, yeah, it's the real deal. You know, when you impress your dad with a guest appearance, it kind of feels weird.
Exactly. You know, it's funny that you say that, Patrick, because, you know, I started doing film work a while back, and I got into it by doing, like, some fighting and stunt work, and, like, the first thing I was in was with Willie Nelson, and I didn't get much respect from the old man regarding this kind of stuff, because I was always like,
yeah.
Well, how much money did you make? But when I said I was in there with Willie Nelson, oh, really? You know, it's like, what? Seriously?
You need to tell, but Dad, we smoked weed. I smoked weed with Willie Nelson. You don't understand. I'm bad.
Well, speaking of Subdivisions, William Shatner, and of course, yeah, I mean, everybody knows Rush. Rush is awesome. I think we're going to go ahead and just, like, listen to it. How about that? So give us a sweet intro into it, Patrick.
Here's one of the songs that is, like, from one of the best bands of all time in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, all that stuff, paired up with one of the most legendary, out-of-this-world celebrities, actors, philanthropists, whatever he is, and brought to you by Heaven Below.
Damn it, Patrick. Did you have that written down on, like, your dry erase board? Because I have to have my stuff written down on a dry erase board to say all that kind of stuff.
No, I'm here in the studio. I just kind of looked around and got excited.
All right. Sorry.
I know. See that? That's great.
Exactly.
Heaven Below. He's from hell. That will work.
Oh, shut up, Misty. Immediately.
Beam you up, Scotty. You need to be beamed up, Scotty.
Be quiet.
Good Lord.
Federation. Attention all planets of the Solar Federation. Attention all planets of the Solar Federation. Attention all planets of the Solar Federation. We have assumed control. We have assumed control. We have assumed control. We have assumed control.
Patrick, that was awesome.
That was, man. I dug that, dude. That was cool.
Yeah.
That was a very challenging song for us.
I bet, man. Anything with Rush is challenging, bro.
Yep, I had to put down the beer for like 20 minutes just to make sure I cut the vocal right.
It was good.
And then he sounded like a crying, screaming rat monkey in a box.
Oh,
great.
My gosh.
Flying monkey.
You never stop.
I love it.
She never stops. Misty? I'm a
devil dogs from outer space.
Zip it. I muted her. She's out of control tonight. It's terrible. Now, coming up shortly, you're going to be with Sammy Hagar, man. How cool is that?
It's awesome. It's so humbling to ever get share the stage with a legend like that, a Red Rocker. And I must say, you know, Austin, Texas, we're all from that area. We're from San Antonio, or half the band is. And, man, Stubbs Barbecue, Sammy Hagar, 6 that's all we need.
It's going to be great. I'm going to kind of make my way over there, too, to see you guys and stuff. It's going to be awesome. I look forward to that. Man, I'm pumped. Yeah, I mean, when I heard that you guys are going to be there opening up for him, I was like, wow, that's a sweet opportunity right there, you got to admit.
It's going to be awesome, but now I guess we can't do our Van Halen 1 cover album song now. That's very nice.
Yeah, it may create some backstage tension.
We know we can't play I Can't Drive 85.
Oh, right. You know what's funny?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. We can drive like 85. It's pretty awesome. You know, you go down to 45, the toll road they got. Oh, my gosh, it's awesome. You can
85 miles. That's the highest speed limit in Texas, isn't it?
It's cause
oh,
awesome.
Man, we got the 405 out here. They call it the 405 because it takes 4 or 5 hours to get anywhere. It's so crowded.
Dang.
You know, Austin was getting pretty rough, too, you know, like around, you know, rush hour traffic in the morning and in the evening. It's terrible. It gets really bad. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know how they're going to fix that up. I don't know. It's crazy.
We're going to go on bicycle. We'll be on bicycles to the gig on a tandem bike.
Hell yeah.
Sweet. That'll be awesome. Oh, my God.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to go. A lot of folks are going to be there. Rot Rally's huge. You know that for sure, being from around this area. It's going to be great.
Hell yeah, we love it.
Now, how did you get your name, Heaven Below?
It kind of came, I guess the official story, which is true, is I had written, I guess, our first song for the band, and it had a lyric in there that said mentioned Heaven Below, and I had heard another famous band, and I misinterpreted their lyric as Heaven Below. And when I found out it wasn't Heaven Below, I thought, man, I got to use that in one of my songs. And so when I put the band together, the guys go, man, that's a cool lyric, that thing where you're talking about Heaven Below. We should call the band that. And I was like, man, maybe you're onto something. So we just stole it out of our own song, you know.
That's cool.
Well, see, I had to ask that because Misty had – tried to say that it was some kind of nefarious plan or something like that, that you use that name, it's some satanic reference and all that kind of stuff. I knew it wasn't like that, you know. We're more like
a Christian satanic band, you know. Like,
you're confused. What? What's going on?
Yeah, we kind of level. It phases each other out. It puts us right in the middle.
Oh, so you're a neutral band. Very nice. Oh, man. Well, we look forward to seeing you for sure at the Rot Rally. Can you tell everybody what the date is and everything and how they can, you know, come down over there and check you out?
Yeah, let me see. The date is June 14th, I want to say off the top of my head. And I know if you go online, you can get tickets. So you could just literally put ROT Rally into your fancy Google machine, and I know it's easy to get tickets for it. And I'm sure it'll be uber crowded and super crazy, but that's how we do it down in Texas.
Right on. Now, folks are definitely going to want to follow you on Twitter as well as Facebook and stuff, right?
Yeah, it's real easy. I mean, you just put it, you literally put it Heaven Below, and heavenbelow.com is kind of our central hub. And on Facebook, we're all on there. The whole band is. And I know it takes a while for us to get back to people, but we're all about keeping it real, born and bred in Texas, grew up on Pantera. So we're all about staying close to our friends and fans like that. So we'll always answer everybody on there.
Well, okay. Robbie has a Pantera link, don't you, Robbie?
I love Pantera. Daryl taught me how to play guitar. You know, not really taught me how to play, but he's friends with my sister, and he used to come over to the house all the time and get on my little BC Rich and just tear it up. You know, I was like, I thought he was a god. I was like 8 years old.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, we might have to bust out a Pantera song at the Rot Rally now.
Heck yeah, man.
That would be sweet,
yeah.
Man. Well, Patrick, thanks for stopping into the Paranormal Circus. You know, we definitely got to have you back again. And we're going to be talking about, you know, you guys at the Rot Rally for the next, you know, month or so, for sure, because we want to get everybody over there that we can.
Awesome, man. We're looking forward to it. We want to hang with all our friends and family. So if you guys see us there, you know we're going to do a shot off stage, on stage, backstage, and then look forward to it with you guys.
Right on. Patrick Kennison from Heaven Below, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you.
Bye. All right. Later. That was a sweet interview right there. That was awesome.
Yeah,
how about those Texas musicians? They're so humble. Texas musicians are just so, like Mario, like they're just so down to earth and personable. So nice.
It's cool. It's way cool. Wow. Yeah, and opening up for Sammy Hagar, how awesome is that, you know?
Yeah,
a young
great
band and everything. Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when we were playing at the Tattoo Bar and the Daryl Abbott and his brother owned it. And I remember playing there one night and they were standing right in front of me, right there in the front. And they were, you know, jamming with us. And that was the coolest shit in the world, dude. I got to say, I was in heaven right then.
Hell yeah.
Well, you know what? I never spoke about the Art Bell stuff. Like, he like, vanished. But you know what? He's gone. Who cares? I'm sure they found him, Art Bell. Maybe he got found by George Norrie. Maybe George went hunting for him. I don't know. You know? Who knows? They got their own dang show. Talk about themselves. We ain't talking about him. You know, they did coast-to-coast stuff. Go on there and listen to it. Find out what happened. Call in, ask a question, talk to George. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care less. But, yeah, we got a lot of great stuff coming up, though, folks. We've got Voice of the Unknown that's going to be coming out on Amazon.com shortly. I finally got where CreateSpace had submitted it to Amazon. See, you have to fill out this big old thing with CreateSpace. They do their magic. They send it to Amazon. It gets approved. It gets on there, and everybody in the world can watch it. So
okay.
The director's cut, Voice of the Unknown, paranormal investigation, real evidence, real awesome evidence. So check it out. Also, Swinging at Shadows, we did an investigation here a while back. That was pretty sweet. And
Yeah,
it worked out really good because we're going to have to do it again, Robbie. Did you know that?
Damn.
Long drop. Yeah, so what we did is, you know, we rehearsed. We essentially rehearsed.
Damn.
I've got something real hard here. I am going to crack my own skull with it. Ready? It's so irritating. If I draw blood, it's okay. Nobody can really see it. Ready? Here it goes. Ouch!
Jeez.
But no. So, yeah. What happened was is we had an audio malfunction, and it wasn't crystal clear like and pristine like I wanted it to be, and that it needs to be. And so we're going to do it again and everything, and maybe we'll buy you a pizza or something. It'll make it worth your while or whatever. I'll have more snacks. I'll bring more gluten-free snacks. That'd be great. Yeah. But I just want it to be 100% perfect because I know you guys do. And, you know, we want the most awesome flick ever. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm pretty pumped about that. Pretty excited. I'm hitting myself with things. But anyway, no, I think it's going to be wonderful. We're going to film this weekend. So that's going to be pretty awesome, too. And that we'll be at another location. And Robbie's going to give me his ghost box to use.
Oh, my.
That's pretty good. Heck, yeah. We're going to be hooked up with a sweet ghost box from Robbie. You know, that's, I appreciate that. He's going to wake me up at like 4 in the morning. Will, I'm outside right now with your ghost box.
I'm about 30 miles away, bro.
Exactly. I mean, oh, man, roll over and stuff and, you know, drive the car there. You just kind of put it on autopilot, let it drive itself. That's kind of what I do, you know.
Wally said you got to bring a dozen donuts with you.
Okay.
Chocolate.
Chocolate donuts? Like the chocolate cake donuts or what kind? Or chocolate iced?
Just
chocolate cream.
Chocolate cream, chocolate ice, chocolate anything.
Chocolate filled.
Hell yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I'll hook you right up. We got a place right down the street here. These Asian folks have a really nice donut shop, and they make great donuts and everything. It's really good. I think I'll get them from there. That'd be awesome. Yeah, I'll do that for sure. Sold. It's a deal. I would get Onyx's ghost box from her. I try to use it or whatever, but sometimes it malfunctions, sort of.
Mine?
I can't understand it. It's always real. I can't hear the, like, words being said and stuff like that most of the time. It's really hard for me. I don't know.
Oh.
What's wrong with
it? It just likes me.
You understand the static.
It's attached to me.
Nice. So, yeah, that's what we're going to do. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll go film and everything. And the audio will be good. Or
Y'all have fun. I'm going to be partying all weekend for my birthday. So y'all have a good time.
What day is your birthday?
It's the 20th, so I guess Tuesday.
Wait. This is the weekend. You're not supposed to party yet. You're supposed to wait till next week.
I get, what is it? It's a Lissagraw.
Nah. Yeah.
So you
gonna
do anything special?
Huh?
You gonna do anything special? Like so instead of getting spanked for your birthday, everybody gets to bite you?
Yeah, pretty much. Or vice versa, but pretty much. My vampires are taking care of everything. They've planned the whole weekend for me. So
we shall
see.
Well, hopefully you have a great weekend. Nice.
Thank you.
I know we will, and I'm gonna try to post. You know, while I'm out there filming and stuff, it's hard sometimes because I forget. But I need to get on the ball a little bit better, you know. I'll work on it. I'm a work in progress, like a piece of Play-Doh that you're trying to form. You know, you take it out of the can and it's like all like a blob and you're forming it. Whatever, I'm gluten-free. I'm not no blob. So, anyways, once again, thank you for coming and hanging out with us for like an hour or so. At DTM Wicked Radio's Paranormal Circus. Me, Robbie, and Alyssa enjoyed your company. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Let me see. You guys can take us out of here because I've had enough of this stuff.
Cool. You cool kids next week. Keep it creepy and weird. Be safe. Woo!
Heck yeah. Join us next week for more of the Paranormal Circus. If you ain't listening to us, you listen to shit. Fire!
I have a secret, can you keep it? It involves spilling blood and your waste. Don't mistake my intention. It's not sin or murder for carnal disgrace. That would be unlawful. It's popped out. There's a purpose right now while you're facing the
feeling rushing into my veins.
Impact of your energy.